Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 6, 2017. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm well, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Good to have you here. And sitting right beside you, John F. Braun. You're not on the show often enough, John. How are you?
I am doing fantastic here with my...
Excellent. Glad to have both of you here. And it's actually cool when I say you two are sitting side by side. You really are sitting side by side.
We really are. I'm here at Casa Braun, and we're getting ready to go to PepCom actually in Manhattan tonight. So
awesome.
Prepping Mac Geek Gab furiously before we go.
Awesome. And I'm assuming, as always, this weekend's Mac Geek Gab is going to be awesome.
That's the goal.
Excellent. Also awesome. Eero is our sponsor today. The Wi-Fi mesh network product, which is pretty cool. That's what I'm running right now. I'll talk about them in a bit. But first, I've been curious about the future of Pebble ever since Fitbit bought them. And specifically, I mean their actual products, because it sure looked to me like there was a brick wall at the end of the line for Pebble, because that's not the product that Fitbit wanted to promote. They just wanted all the stuff that comes with Pebble. And we have an update that came out for the iPhone app, and the key feature in this update is that it removes that dependency on the Pebble servers for firmware updates and app installations. So now you'll be able to just sideload whatever onto your Pebble and not have to worry about whether or not Fitbit leaves Pebble servers running. And the assumption is at the end of 2017, they're not running anymore. I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
I think this is a great, it's the best move. Whether it's great or not, it sort of depends on your perspective, but I think it's the best move they could have done. The people are out there. There is an active, loyal Pebble community. People, especially people that have kind of tweaked them and made them into the things that they want them to be. It's never going to compete with the Apple Watch or anything like that. So leaving, sort of acknowledging that this community exists, they want to still do things with their Pebbles, but they're hamstrung by this limitation in the OS that doesn't allow direct loading of apps or firmware, and now they've taken that away. So I think it's great. I think it's great for the Pebble community. What would be even better, and perhaps this has already happened, I'm not an active member of the Pebble community, though I still own a Pebble, mm-hmm. Would be if they open sourced their firmware so that people really could start doing some fun and interesting things, you know, kind of in that geeky, loyal community.
I think it's good to...
Go ahead,
it's
John.
It's good to support your users of legacy products or people that you bring in the fold. And I've seen this as well when it's made me happy. Like I have a Dropcam, which as you probably know was acquired by Nest, and they still support it to some level. Or like I just did this, I have a 10-year-old TiVo, and I just took advantage of their offer. They said, hey, if you were, you know, you got this old ancient thing, we'll bring you into the fold and give you a deal to keep you, you know, to welcome you to our family.
Supporting your older customers like that is good for creating goodwill moving forward. And my guess is that because of this, there are at least some Pebble customers that if they want to look for a different wearable device, will consider Fitbit simply because Fitbit did the right thing by them. And actually now that this update is out, I'm thinking about digging out my Pebble, assuming I can find the box it's in, installing this new update and just seeing what people do with Pebble now that it's more open.
You know, that's a good point, man. If you are like you or me, former Pebble users, but still current Pebble owners, you may not have kept your firmware up to date, and that may not be a priority for you. However, it now should be a priority to go dig that Pebble out, hopefully the battery still works, charge it up, update the firmware so that it now has this side loadable, you know, app firmware on the thing. And you're not, you don't find yourself stuck a year from now saying, oh crap, if only I'd done this back then, it would have been easy. Now I have to jump through all these hoops to update my ancient firmware on my Pebble.
I don't know that that's the case, but I
do know how these types of things go in general. And so there's my advice.
I like that advice. I think I can summarize your advice by saying, don't tempt fate. Just get that firmware update done. Get this new app installed. And you're set regardless of whether or not you plan on using your Pebble in the future.
That's right. Yeah. It at least makes it worth a little more on eBay potentially. And
yes,
also potentially saves you a headache.
Yep. I like this plan. And yep. And I like that Fitbit did this. And I'm happy for people that are Pebble fans, because that brick wall at the end of their tunnel just turned into a light. It may not be a bright light, but it is a light, and you take it as you can get it. Hey, I said we have Eero as a sponsor today, and I really meant it. And I just have to tell everyone, I am a happy Eero customer. I have one of their three packs set up in my place. And what it does is it creates this Wi-Fi mesh network. And what that means is that instead of having to go through the kludge of figuring out how to hook up multiple base stations in different places and deciding which one to connect to at what time, or hoping that your software can figure it out for you, the Eero system, it just handles it. And that's what Wi-Fi mesh networks do. So the whole thing appears as one giant Wi-Fi network for all my devices. And the Eero handles making sure that each device is getting the best connection it can possibly get. And I absolutely love that. And I just have to share this story. I have to share my one complaint about my Eero. And I know, Dave, right now you just kind of went, because I'm going to complain about a product in a sponsor spot. But
during a sponsor spot, yeah, right.
Here's the deal. My complaint is that my webcam that I use for monitoring my place when I'm gone, it doesn't turn on anymore when I want it to. And what I mean is specifically when I leave my place and I go down the block to my favorite pub and sit down to have my favorite meal and my favorite beer, my camera doesn't turn on. And the reason it doesn't turn on is because I'm still in range of my Wi-Fi network and I didn't used to be. So
this is a good problem to have, my friend.
This is exactly the problem that I want to have. So what I have to do, like an animal, is take my iPhone out of my pocket and manually turn the camera on when I'm sitting at the pub, like an animal. Anyhow, that's
pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's an awesome problem to have. And you guys, you need to check this out. So what you can do is head over to the Eero website. That's Eero.com and check it out. They have a three pack and a two pack, and you can even get a single unit if you want, but that's not much of a mesh network if you only have one. So look at the two pack and the three pack. For $3.99, you get all three. That's $100 off what it used to be. And for $2.99, you get the two pack. That's $50 off what it used to be. And those are permanent price reductions, not some special deal. It's just more affordable now. And I love that the lower price means more people can get into an Eero setup. So go check it out at Eero.com, Eero.com. And you can also check these out at Best Buy and Amazon. And thank you to Eero for being our sponsor. Okay. The other thing that I want to talk about today is one of the reasons why I'm glad both of you are here. We've talked a little bit about VPNs or virtual private networks over the past couple weeks because of the bigger discussion about Congress blocking a law that was going to limit what ISPs could collect and sell about us. And so it raised the question about what can I do to enhance my online privacy? hence VPNs. So we've talked about having a personal VPN, which is on your computer, protecting that or obscuring that device online. What we haven't talked about is Dave, what you've called a whole house VPN. So I'll play straight man here. Dave, what's a whole house VPN?
So, right. The VPNs that we've talked about thus far have been device-centric. You're either connecting your Mac directly to the VPN or your iPhone or iPad directly to the VPN. This tunnels your traffic from the device to the VPN servers, meaning anyone on your local network can't see what's going on. Really handy if you're at a coffee shop or something on a public Wi-Fi network. But it would also mean that people in your home can't see what's going on. And once you've got that tunnel set up, you're kind of in a scenario where some of the things that you might want to access locally at your home are now more difficult to do because all of your internet traffic is now tunneled over this this setup. Additionally, in order to have every device in your home on a VPN, you would need to configure each device individually to connect to a VPN. And depending on your provider, you may or may not have the ability to do that. So enter the concept of what we'll call whole house VPN, which is take the entirety of your home's network connection and tunnel the whole thing out to a VPN. So that means devices in your house can still talk with each other. They don't know any better. And it's just the data that's leaving your house now that connects to a VPN server.
Okay.
This sounds like a very easy thing to do, right?
I need one bit of clarification since I'm playing straight man.
Yeah, sure.
Dave,
right.
Are you saying when I run a personal VPN, like I have Tunnel Bear on my Mac?
Sure.
If I have Tunnel Bear turned on my network or on my computer, on my own network, I've now segregated my computer from the other devices on my network.
For the most part, that is correct. There's someone out there waving their arms because there are scenarios where that is not entirely accurate. But yes, for the large part of what you're doing, you are segregated off. That's correct.
Okay.
And that's the point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Right. Okay. Yeah, John.
Will this protect wired traffic?
Sure.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you're on Ethernet or Wi-Fi. It's the fact that you have a VPN in place.
Right.
Okay. Because I think typically on a regular home network, that's one, I'll say, Achilles heel. If somebody gets access to the cable, they could intercept the traffic and see it because it's typically not encrypted.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's the same problem at a coffee shop or whatever is, if somebody can get access to it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I derailed us for that clarification, Dave. Sorry about that. So back to what you're saying about creating a whole house VPN.
Right. So the trick to doing this, there are benefits, ease of use being one of them, because you don't have to go and configure each of your devices that's at your house. You just have it all tunnel over this VPN. The trick is it's not that easy to use because there's not a lot of solutions out there that will let you do a whole house VPN. There are a couple of routers that will. The Synology series of routers, the RT2600 AC and the RT1900 AC, will do it. I believe that Asus has this capability in at least some of their routers. And then the third-party DDWRT firmware allows you to do this. Those are all geeky solutions. If your router doesn't support it, then your router simply doesn't support it. There's no way to get your router to do that. So then you would need to set up a Raspberry Pi or even a Mac Mini server running a VPN gateway. And then you point all your devices to use that as your gateway instead of your main router. It starts to get much more complex than simply adding VPNs to all your devices. But it comes with the benefit of everything seeing each other locally and still being your traffic still being obscured from your ISP, which is really what we're talking about here.
Right. Okay. So a whole house VPN is at some point there's hardware involved because the software that runs the VPN has to live on something.
That's right.
So it can live.
It has to live on a device somewhere.
So that could be the router that you're using to connect to your ISP, or it could be a third-party device. And you mentioned Raspberry Pi. That's something I've just started experimenting with, turning a Raspberry Pi into a VPN. And or I suppose there at some point we will probably find consumer level products coming out that will add a VPN to your network.
Yeah, and the Synology routers are definitely consumer level products. So that exists.
Okay.
So yeah, you can do it. The easiest path may require a hardware change in terms of your router. The good news is that the newest Synology router, the RT2600AC, in terms of standalone routers, is my absolute favorite. It's not a mesh product, so now you're picking one over the other, unless you do the ultimate in what I consider Wi-Fi decadence, which is you get a Synology router as your router, you turn off the Wi-Fi in that, and then you hang an Eero off of that, and let Eero do your mesh Wi-Fi, let Synology do all your geeky routing. And you're living in ultimate decadence.
Did it just get hot in here?
I know, man.
That sounds awesome. It's
pretty. We have some listeners that do this. I described it on a Mac Geek Gab. I don't know, a couple of months ago, and people are out there doing this. Ugh, it makes me jealous. It's tough to make me jealous of technology, but they've succeeded. So there you go.
All right. Well, that's pretty awesome. Okay. So so now when you set up a whole home VPN. Is this something that you're limited to using when you're on your local network, or can you use it as a VPN when you are at, say, the coffee shop?
Yeah, so that's where it starts to get a little tricky, because once you've got your entire network connection VPN'd, it's tough to VPN back into that. So so it starts to get tricky. But no, you're not on your whole house VPN when you're at the coffee shop. So you would need to solve that problem separately.
Okay. So at least as it stands today, when you're looking at VPN, you're looking at two things that have to happen independently of each other. Your local VPN that's on your computer when you're out at the coffee shop, and then a whole house VPN, if that's the way you want to go, so that you can have all the devices in your house showing up exactly as you expect, but still having a VPN for protection.
That's right. Yeah. It starts to get really complex to think about and manage. And frankly, it sucks that we have to even think about a VPN from our homes. And yet, it seems like we do, based on the fact that we're having this conversation.
Yep. So it seems. Now, for me, I think I've mentioned I use TunnelBear. Since I have the unlimited plan, I typically forget to turn it off until I realize that that there's something on my network that I'm not accessing the way I expect. You know, because I go to the coffee shop, I turn on my VPN, period. And so for one person on a network, it's not that big of a problem for me. Nonetheless, I'm using TunnelBear for that. I'm curious, what are you guys using for your VPNs?
Oh, well, I'll toss my hat in the ring.
Yes, please, John.
So there are three that I use. I have on my iOS device here, so I'll speak iOS first. TunnelBear, and I think they recently added 4.2% more bears to the latest version.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I love their up. Every update, they tell you how many more bears they've added. And I asked them how they know, and they actually sent me a graphic showing a bear in the lab and how they determine this. They're awesome. Their art is awesome and their product is awesome. Speedify is another one. Talked to them recently. And a nice thing about theirs is that they recently updated it. So it will yell at you if it's not on and it thinks it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Or an option to turn itself on. And that's a shortcoming with some of the VPN products, is they don't necessarily always turn on when they should. And then OpenVPN. I have a client on iOS, and then the server is hosted on my Synology. So those are my three.
Okay.
And then they have a client on the Mac called TunnelClick that is an OpenVPN client as well.
Say that again. TunnelClick?
Blick.
Blick.
TunnelBlick. B as in Bob.
TunnelBlick. Like brick with a speech impediment. Got it. All right, Dave.
Correct.
And what are you using?
Actually, before I talk about what I'm using, I want to throw a bit of context in, because Speedify does something very cool. It is a VPN, but it uses a VPN to solve a different problem. Mm-hmm. Often when you are on public Wi-Fi, you know, you join that Xfinity Wi-Fi connection or something like that, and it's Wi-Fi and it has a really strong signal, but you get no data out and it's really frustrating. What Speedify does is it actually bonds your two connections together, and you can configure how it does this. But because it's a VPN, it can choose whether to tunnel data out your Wi-Fi connection or your LTE connection. And it checks, again, because it's a VPN, they can see what's happening on the other end at their server, and they know if you actually have a Wi-Fi connection out to the internet. And so you just get this connection that just always works when you're traveling. And that's super handy with Speedify.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So when I'm traveling, I use Speedify, frankly, for dual purpose, VPN, and so that I can be on public Wi-Fi and take advantage of that, but I don't have to manually sort of jack around with it.
Sure.
And then, like John, I run a VPN at home. I do have OpenVPN running. I tend to use L2TP more because it's natively supported by iOS, and then Tunnel Bear as well. So those are my three, I guess. Very similar to John. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. And listeners, if you have VPN questions, let me know. That you can shoot me messages at, what is it, at TMO Daily. That's what it would be on Twitter. You can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. And if it's something I can't answer, then I'm totally roping in Dave and John, because after all, they are Mac Geek Gab, and they know their stuff. So Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. And John F. Braun, it's great to have you here as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking.
And, Eero, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com, and check out their Wi-Fi mesh products. And I'm hoping that someday soon you can all have the same complaint that I do, which is that your Wi-Fi signal goes so far that you actually have to complain about it at the pub. And listeners, I'm so glad that you were here yet again. Thanks for joining me. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.